Is Tom Savage worthy of the number 33 overall pick?
No.
Why not?
Maybe put a 1 in front of that. Is there a 133rd pick?
But he's got a strong arm. I read it on the internet.
There are plenty of guys who have strong arms, but no, I mean, this is not a guy who projects to me as a starting NFL quarterback.
That was Andrew Filippone from 93.7 The Fan on our show years ago.
Only he warned because us. Now Matt Stafford is in front of him in Detroit.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only reason he's not starting.
Andrew was not impressed much by Garrett Cole last night, and he joins us on the show. Andrew, good morning. Why are you...
Well, you have to point out, first, he does radio in Pittsburgh.
He does.
So he's got an axe to grind against Garrett Cole. That's why he was unimpressed.
Andrew, do you have an axe to grind against Garrett Cole?
I'm a little bit thrown off by the timing of this interview. Is this an attempt to hang up on me in 60 seconds?
No, not at all. Not at all.
When I got 10:19 or 9:19, I'm thinking there's an update coming at 9:20, and Mike's just going to hang up on me.
No, we got a weird clock up here.
Yeah, we got a weird clock. We've gotten rid of updates like a lot of these stations have. So, no, you're not up against it whatsoever.
We need to get rid of them, too, by the way, but that's another story. So what do you want to talk about, Garrett Cole?
Garrett Cole, you're
all over Twitter last night besmirching the good name of Garrett Cole and saying how unimpressed you were with him.
How many hits did he give up last night? Garrett Cole gave up, what did he give up, like 10 hits last? 7 hits.
Yeah.
How many strikeouts?
3.
Yeah, the fewest strikeouts he'd had since he was playing for the Pirates.
All right. You tiptoed through raindrops.
Right, but you were acting like, oh, where is this mighty Garrett Cole that I've heard about? I thought he was supposed to be 20 feet tall and could strike down a redwood tree with a single axe blow.
He's on pace to like be the first guy to strike out 350 guys since like Bob freaking Feller.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way he's been advertised to us. I haven't seen him really pitch since last year's playoffs, because unlike you, I'm not staying up till 10:30 to watch A's Astros unless I've got money on it.
Listen,
so
I talked to Mike this morning, and I said, I know what's going on with Filippone. He's had to watch this twice now with the Pirates, where first you guys squandered Charlie Morton.
Yes.
The Astros turned him into a hero.
Now he's a
and
Cy
then
Young
you
candidate.
Squandered Garrett Cole because the Pirates apparently have no respect for spin rate. He came
Correct.
To a place where we care about spin rate, and now we've turned him into magnificence.
All right, look, the Morton thing, as far as that went in the World Series, closing out Game 7, loved it. I'm a huge fan of the guy. There's no bitterness or resentment towards the way that, you know, he went on with his career. You gotta deal with this reality, though. When he left Pittsburgh, Cole, the guy was a complete jerk. I don't mean the way he, like, talked about the city or the way he acted to get himself run out of town, so to speak. But his body language, his attitude, the way he carried himself. I mean, go look at his numbers from the last year here. It's embarrassing that he pitched to an ERA over 4.
What happened? So what happened with Garrett Cole? Because you're taking a number one pick, and obviously it didn't work out the way you hoped.
But he's
so
talented,
pick. Right? What was the explanation? I guess if he were to give it, or if you were to try to stick up for him, and what happened in Pittsburgh?
I would put it this way: Imagine if Zion Williamson got drafted by, I don't know, what would you say is the worst place in the NBA to go? Like the last absolute outpost or the Siberia of the NBA. The last place guys want to play.
Well, I think New Orleans would be pretty close to that at this
moment.
Yeah,
but at least you got cool things to do down there.
I'll give you the answer.
It's not an atrocious city, Mike.
I'll say Orlando.
All right.
That's
let's
a fun place
gets,
to do, too.
Let's say he gets drafted by the Sacramento Kings
with
the number one pick, okay? The second he gets drafted there, you start the clock for him to leave in free agency. And that is exactly the way it went with Cole from the second he got here with Boris as his agent and the way that he kind of looks at his own career. You could tell from the second he got here that he was not long for Pittsburgh. And he would do some things like go to Penguins games and bang on the glass. He actually got thrown out of a game for being too loud and obnoxious one time.
He did.
But
that's surprising.
But you could just tell that he was a mercenary here. He was a hired gun. And once the team kind of took a dip and they didn't put a lot of money in after they won 98 games, I think he was like done with Pittsburgh. More so done with the Pirates organization. And it absolutely, his last year here in 2017, it bled into the way he pitched. The organization has to take fault for their pitching philosophy, for making him throw sinker balls like crazy, treating him like he was basically a 4 or 5 starter and not letting him just reach back and throw 100. But he also could have said, to hell with that, I'm going to do it my way, and pitched not entirely like he's doing in Houston, but, I mean, if the guy wants to throw 98, 45 to 50% of the time like he's doing in Houston, I feel like he could have done that here, no problem.
Andrew, as far as last night goes, real quick before we go back to the big picture and some of the things that you tweeted, Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan, joining us here on the hotline, Mike and Seth, on Mad Radio. How much of the lack of strikeouts is just those guys being so familiar with him? Because you look at Gerrit Cole's, you know, game logs, and you go game to game, even when he pitches poorly, he'll strike out 7 or 8 guys. So I wonder if a situation like last night is him maybe overthinking and those guys knowing exactly what he's throwing.
Well, I think there are a couple things there. I think the first one is, if you looked at, if you were meticulous like I was watching that game last night, Mike, I know you got a lot of things going on right now. I didn't think Cole was command precision was there. He missed more pitches than I thought he would, just based on some of the stats and numbers I saw going into the game. I thought that there were probably some opportunities there for the Pirates to do more damage. You got a ball that Reddick takes away that could have been a home run, that was a nifty defensive play. Josh Bell is probably going to start the All-Star game at first base, missed a hanging curveball that was right down the middle. But the other part of it is, from the Pirates' perspective, I'll just be completely honest with you, I think they went into that game not wanting to be embarrassed. I think instead of having the mindset of the philosophy, you know what, he's going to throw hard, we're going to try to hit it hard, I thought they went up there and they were very defensive. I think they tried to just put the ball in play. I think they probably swung more for contact than he, say, pitched to contact. And I really think, because, you know, this organization, very, very sensitive about things. And I think sometimes it trickles down to the players. And I would not be shocked if they went into that game thinking, you know what, we're going to make sure one thing doesn't happen tonight. We're not going to let him punch out 18 or 19 guys. And so I think he had a lot of kind of choke up on the bat, two-strike approach, just put the ball in play, and it showed up in the numbers. They made contact, but they didn't really do a lot of damage.
I want to go back to this Gerrit Cole at the Penguins game thing, because we've got a long record of being anti-NFL player rowdy at particularly Nashville games, because the offensive linemen for the Titans act like ass clowns when they go to these games. I'm looking at this game from 2016 where Gerrit Cole apparently got talked to by an usher for banging on the glass. That had, people in Pittsburgh must have loved that, did they not?
Yeah, they did at the time. I can't lie to you about that. I think, like, it's a really weird situation here with him, because he pulled a stunt in spring training. I think his, like, maybe in 2015 or 2016, where he pulled a reporter in and was like, this cheapskate organization, they're making me play for, like, the arbitration minimum, and they're not giving me a bump in pay after I just won 19 games last year.
Yes.
And that was one of those weird moments where, like, because there's so much animosity towards the Pirates' payroll, I felt like he really got fans on his side. I mean, he wears his heart on his sleeve. He's an emotional guy, and I think it's easy for fans to kind of rally around people like that, to kind of root for guys like that. But I think where he ended up eventually losing people is that He would routinely show up teammates. If a guy made a mishap in the field, he'd air him out on the field. It'd carry over into the dugout. He'd make an offhand comment about it after the game, that there was a blunder or a mistake that was the reason why he lost. Giving up a ton of home runs, and his numbers were bad. He wasn't really taking a lot of responsibility or accountability for his actions. And it seems to me, just from some of the things I've read and heard about Gerrit Cole, that maybe, like, getting around Verlander and some of the people in Houston might have changed that in him a little bit. And he's talked about growing up since he's left the Pirates, and that might be an aspect, or that might be something that he's alluding to when he makes those comments. Because when he was here, I mean, he looked like he was straight out of Williamsport on the mound sometimes, like you were watching a Little League kid pitch. He'd blame the umpire for missing a call, He'd blame his teammates. He'd get on his manager for like coming out to, or his pitching coach for coming out to talk to him. And so it seems to me like maybe now that he's getting closer to 30, like Meltzer, he's grown up a little bit.
Just a little bit. Last thing, I think the Steelers are going to win the AFC North. What do you think?
You're right, and I think you guys are going to stink this year. I think you guys are going to suck.
Oh, here we go. Why?
Hold on. No, I'm not just doing this to like like get you guys in a lather.
Okay.
There is no way you guys are going to be so lucky with turnovers this year. No chance. You barely gave the ball away last year with that crap offensive line, and you took the ball away a million times, and you're Mr. Math, Mike. You know those things do not work out year to year. They're going to come right back down to earth in that respect. The division, I think, as a whole has gotten better, and I would be very surprised to see the Texans win more than 8 games. I would plan a flight to Vegas. Actually, I'm going out there later this month. And I will be putting an under bet in on the Houston Texans.
Well,
Andrew,
what if I told you
their offensive line's better?
What if I told you that we are not saddled with a general manager like so many other teams?
Yes, exactly. It's Bill O'Brien running the show.
Where was the offensive lineman projected to go in the draft, the first rounder?
Early second round.
High second round.
Michael Lombardi says everybody loved Titus Howard.
They're gonna be. I'll tell you honestly, like more so than the turnover margin. Although you are correct about the turnover margin, it's a tougher schedule this year. And I think people most realistically, when you were saying like they're not gonna win more than 8 games, well, shoot, that's pretty much on par with what a lot of people are expecting right now. Yeah. Now, if you had said 4-12, we'd have those would be fighting words, which Mike just told me with his law school education that I'm allowed to fight you if you come up to me and tell me fighting words.
Yeah, kind of.
That the law will protect me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Andrew.
Yeah, I don't know why you're citing Michael Lombardi. The guy said more jobs than Josh Hinnis. I'll leave you on that, guys. Have a good day.
Okay, there's Andrew Filippone. I was not expecting that one. Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh on Sports Radio 610.